good evening, everyone. I, Elvira Dhawan, would like to take this honor to welcome you all on this lovely evening on behalf of the STR Foundation. So here we are with yet another session of Knowledge Series. As most of you are aware that we have been taking this these sessions online since April. Today, our speaker is this dynamic lady who is multi-talented. When reading about her, I was in surprised how could someone be so talented, yet after having so many challenges in life. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Neelam Kumar ma'am, who is a life coach. But the most important part is that she has been one after learning through experiences of her life and not through books. So yet another session, and this one is particularly going to give you a lot of lessons for life. So if you're someone like me, and if you're an aspiring writer, and if you're like an author, you're just in the correct session. Warm welcome, Neelam ma'am.
Thank you very much, Elvira. That was indeed a warm welcome. It is quite an honor to be speaking at this prestigious forum of the SGR Knowledge Foundation. So thank you very much for welcoming me here.
It is an honor to have you, ma'am. And if I could, go on introducing you, it would take the entire session. And we have we already have a less amount of time. So I would just like to inform everyone that Neelam ma'am is not only a TEDx speaker, she's a life coach. She has been working with students as a counselor. She has written many best-selling books, which make her one of the best-seller authors. And we have so much to talk about in this session, ma'am. I would like to start from my first question to you. Besides being a successful author, you are also a much sought-after life coach. Like I have already introduced you, because you have been a life coach after your experiences in life. My question to you is, what was the first lesson that you learned in life which made you a life coach?
What a wonderful question, Elvira. Life for me has been full of lessons. But let me tell you the very first one that I learned when I was very young. I was still in school and I was not educated in India. I was in a non-English speaking country. And so I did not know any English. And so the teacher, when my parents brought me back to India and they put me in a very fancy convent school where everyone was speaking English, I became the joker, the clown of the class. So the teacher predicted in red ink on my notebook that I'm wood sitting on wood. I would never be able to learn the English language. Now, my father told me life always gives you a choice. And I think that was a huge lesson for me, that there is never a dead end in life. And what I, many, many years later, I kept that lesson in my head and I started working on myself. And the lesson that I took away from this experience is that adversities are actually opportunities in disguise. Because I happened to learn English, I happened to write 10 bestsellers and all in English. So I think we should be very grateful for that one obstacle that has come our way and which has made the person we are. So yes, the first lesson I learned in life was adversities are a blessing in disguise.
Very well said, ma'am. And that explains our topic, and that explains why you're the perfect person speaking about that topic, how to handle adversities in life, especially in this time of pandemic where it is an adversity, it is an unexpected situation which no one would have, foreseen.
Absolutely.
So this is a perfect time you're talking about this topic to the perfect person, I must say.
Thank you so much. And it's very strange when you talk about life coaching. Earlier in colleges, institutes, it was like an extra subject. But now during the pandemic, it has been thrown center stage, because I get, people who connect to me on at life coach Neelam, they are the married, the drifting, the lonely, you know, all kinds of people who either have, you know, they have dipped into themselves and really become anxious with who they are. And so there's a lot of restlessness and a lot of anxiety, you're right, during the pandemic. But yes, life coaching has been a blessing to everyone. And I have had my hands full. And I definitely invite more people to take advantage of life coaching, to reach out, have someone handhold you and sort you out.
Truly, ma'am, I rightly said, like, in this period of loneliness, people do need someone who is there and who is not judgmental, the most important.
Absolutely.
Listen to them, to guide them through this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're so right.
Also, as a psychologist, I have this question for you.
Yes.
You have not only written about cancer, but you have been a cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And not to one, but two times. This takes a great deal of strength. My question to you is, how did you manage those psychological and physiological effects? Psychological being most important, because not only they are from your illness, but from the society.
Yes. So, Alvira, I love the question. You know, society is the one who tries to really pull you down when you are trying to become your own cheerleader. So when I got cancer, not once, but twice, I decided, you know, I'm a writer, I decided to read good books. So I read Tuesdays with Maury, he dies. I watched the movie Anand, he dies. I watched, I read Grace and Grit, she dies. I said, ye kya ho raha hai? Because I have to live. And then I realized that India has no happy books on cancer. So the way I cheered myself up is that I wrote my own book. I wrote To Cancer With Love, My Journey of Joy. I think I have a copy here, which I would like to show you. Yes, this is the brave little pink book that immediately rose on to become a bestseller. And it's India's first joyous book on cancer. So there are people who hold on to it when they go through chemotherapy, because they have described it as the vitamin shot of joy. So talking about cancer again, you know, I was very determined that I would remain in a happy state. But since you've talked about society, let me tell you of some of the classic visitors who came to visit me, supposedly to cheer me up, but they made me absolutely miserable because they just sat there and cried. And I said, aap ro kyun rahe hain? They said, kyunki aap ja rahi hain. I said, main kidhar ja rahi hun? They said, one gentleman said, bon voyage, ma'am. It was wonderful knowing you. You know, I had to really shock him by saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right now, I've decided to outlive you, sir. He was quite shocked about that. So yes, be very careful about what kind of people come visiting you by the bedside. Society is generally a very pessimistic, it has a very pessimistic view of cancer. So they do not know that now the survivors, yeah, there are a lot of survivors who are leading joyous, meaningful lives. And the lesson I took from that is that, you know, my husband, he died very early in life, Alvira. So I was only 35. And I fought my way through in a male-dominated world. And the lesson I took from that is that the only way to face the battle of life is to put on your battle gear and fight like hell. And that's what I did. And I'm glad I'm able to be here and speak to you today.
So are we, ma. We are so glad to know you. We are so glad to take
Thank
on
you,
from
Alvira.
Your
Thank you.
You've definitely led a very difficult life. You've overcome it with your own strength, with your own willpower. And today we are here to witness everything which could make us, you know, take the experiences without going through them, actually. So we are really grateful.
Nobody should get the horror script of a life that I got. The only thing In my DNA, there's a fighter. You know, I am a coward when it comes to lizards, but you put me in a battle, and with a battle cry, I'll fight like hell. So, you know, all my two cancers and my one meningitis, which was very recent, the medical viewpoint was that I'm gone, you know, but I didn't, because I think I have a lot of, I must have been a battle woman in one of my previous lives. So I fought and I survived.
I strongly believe, ma'am, it's the willpower of a person that keeps him or her going. If
Absolutely,
you feel like
willpower.
it's the end of the story, then it might be. But if you feel like
Absolutely.
you go through it, then definitely.
And also, willpower, your attitude, the attitude has to be positive. So positive that every cell in your body denies the medical view. You know, the every cell of your body can sing with joy and say, I'm going to live the most meaningful life after this. And you know, Alvira, I will also tell you the little secret. I also think that if you have a strong spiritual core, you can, you know, whatever spiritual core, whatever faith you have, is very, very essential. For me, it has been Nichiren Buddhism, where nothing is impossible. So I chant Namyoho Renge Kyo, and I believe that I become the script writer of my life.
Your destiny.
Thank
Truly said,
you.
Very well said.
Thank you.
I believe you have written a book with the legendary Mr. Khushwant Singh. We would love to know about it. If you
okay,
would.
Yeah, let me show that to you. So even after so many years, this book, Our Favorite Indian Stories by Khushwant Singh Neelam Kumar, continues to remain a bestseller. It has 40 stories picked up from every state of India. And we had it was in the pre-Google days, remember? So, you know, he just, I was back from America after doing my master's in journalism, and I was full of ego. And, you know, he was a family, was like a family uncle, you know. So he was very good at puncturing people's egos. So he completely punctured my ego and said, "Jo tumne sikha America mein, use bhool jao. India ke liye kya kiya hai?" So I said, "Kuch bhi nahi kiya hai." Then he said that, you know, there are many stories written in regional languages that are trapped within their linguistic and regional boundaries. Why don't you pick those up and show it to me? Together we will translate it into English so that a wider audience can be reached. And that's what we did, and that's why it is such a huge success. It is the map of India, the literary map of India, and I'm quite proud of that book. Thank you.
So are we, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, going through your CV and through your Instagram page and all, I believe that you have a different definition of happiness. We would love to know your definition of happiness.
Well, I have always felt happiness is an inside job. People look for it outside, but it's not there. Whatever we have outside is the temporary happiness. It is a relative happiness. I have one car, I'll be happy. The moment you have 10 cars, I'll be very unhappy. So absolute happiness comes only when you have, again, a strong spiritual core. And happiness is not a life without problems, as I have said. Life has to have problems. But it's only when you learn the skills of overcoming those problems, life becomes a beautiful journey. When you overcome the problems with your own strength, like a hero, you are the hero of your own life. When you overcome that, so true happiness lies in overcoming problems. That's my definition of happiness.
Indeed, ma'am. When our problems start when we start comparing our life to others.
True, true, true. Absolutely.
And truly, as you said, that we look for happiness outside, whereas we should be looking inside.
Yes.
When talking about you, ma'am, and when talking about your illness and you recovering through it, and you talking about spirituality and having faith, and it playing a major, role in helping you recover from cancer, not once but twice. I was wondering if you, believe in miracles.
Well, I have always believed in miracles. As a child, I used to believe in magic, but I have always, I mean, the fact that I'm alive is miracle itself. And people don't realize, they are living a miracle every morning when they wake up and they can breathe. And during this pandemic, we've lost so many precious souls, and yet we are there. Still there. That's a miracle, isn't it? But let me tell you a little, besides my illness, there are, my two cancers and one meningitis. That's a miracle that I am alive. But when I was on the chemotherapy table, the nurse said, ma'am, what can I get for you? And I said, I would like my laptop because I want to punch out my own book. And that's when I wrote to Cancer with Love, My Journey of Joy. I want to tell you a little story. So what happened is that the book became such a bestseller that I wanted to turn it into a comic book, a graphic novel. I didn't have the funds. Now, writers don't have funds. We have a lot of popularity. We give a lot of autographs. We have a lot of fans, but we are not rich. So I found out from a company that was going to host me on their website that it would cost 13 lakhs. And I would have to collect 13 lakhs in 60 days. Now, again, I went back to my spirituality and I said, let me pray very hard that I get the 13 lakhs. I thought I have so many followers, so many fans. So many people on social media, everyone will pitch in. Nobody gave the money, trust me. So on the 55th day, what happened is everyone had lost hope. My family was saying, take your name down from that. Don't do it. But then on the 55th day, I got a call from, guess who? Mr. Ratan Tata. And Mr. Ratan Tata said that he would like to contribute towards it, but he would not give the entire funds because India should wake up to the fact that one Indian is dying every 50 seconds. And there is cancer is an epidemic. And therefore, this book will be very useful for India. And that's when I got my 10 lakhs, but there were still 3 lakhs left. And the 60th day, the last day on 12th, at 12 noon, I got a call from Mr. Amitabh Bachchan. And he called me to his home, of course, to his office. And that's where I got the 3 lakhs. And that's how this book, it was created to Cancer with Love, a graphic novel. Its illustrations are out of this world. They were made in Canada by a very leading company there, and it's very, very beautiful. And this is a vitamin shot of joy, because anyone who reads it. So that's a miracle that I got. I mean, I had never known Mr. Tata. I had never known Mr. Amitabh Bachchan. But the fact that, they reached out to me, and then there was still some money left over. And I said, now what do I do? It's public money. I can't use it for my shopping. So then I wrote another book. That is, I'm a Sea of Possibilities, a personal growth coloring workbook where people can color, adults can color their worries and anxieties away. So this is also India's first, a miracle again. And then I was approached by Manisha Koirala for Penguin Random House, where I wrote this book for her, which is called Healed, How Cancer Gave Me a New Life. I'm so happy to tell you, Alvira, within 2 weeks of its launch, it sold 22,000 copies. So it's a huge bestseller, yes. So I believe these are all miracles. Miracles are waiting to manifest. There are two rules. First, we have to really believe. And the second rule is we have to believe strongly. We have to have faith.
Such inspiring words, ma'am. I'm definitely sure that people would, you know, inspire from your stories and learn a lot from it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing your, experiences of publishing the book, because that's where the writers lack. You know, they can write a book, they very well draft it, manuscript is ready, but the most important part is getting it published. They don't know when and how, and the process of it. So I'm sure the aspiring writers watching this session would be, you know.
Yeah, I would love to guide them about that. Yes, publishing is another. Sure. Yes, I would love to. Sorry.
If you could give a tip or two to the aspiring writers about writing or publishing.
Yeah. So I would say write, rewrite, 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 rewrite. Rewrite at least 6 drafts. Because when we write it, we fall in love with our own first draft. And the first draft is not the one that is marketable. Have it edited professionally by a writer who has already been published. And then my advice would be, go through a literary agent. I will very happily share the name of my literary agent. Because we cannot go to 100 publishers, but this literary agent, I mean, they have their own network, and they can definitely see that your book is published. So it makes your work much easier if you go through a literary agent. That's my tip to aspiring writers. And write every day. It's like a gym, you know. You have to strengthen your writing muscles, so that you don't lose touch.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much for the valuable tips and the experiences.
My pleasure.
Also, I would like to ask you, is there a message that you would give out to people who are having difficulty in managing these adversities, you know?
Well, first of all, Alvira, adversity is a part of life. One has to accept that. Life is not a fairy tale. Therefore, one has to develop the skills to handle those adversities. But I would say there are 3 things that can help one handle adversity. One is positivity. If you have a positive attitude, you can have a solution-oriented mind instead of a problem-seeing mind. The second is attitude. If you are a winner in attitude, you will definitely approach it in a way that a winner will approach it. So attitude has to be very, very positive again. And the third is willpower. As I said, every cell in your body has to sing with the determination that, yes, I will win. And I would say invest a lot in building a strong spiritual core. If one has a strong spiritual core, you know, acceptance comes much faster. Above all, read happy books. Read a lot of self-help books. Do not read any of those glum, grim books that predict that, of course, you're born so you'll die. Don't read those books. My favorite line that I tell all my friends is, hope is a decision, but it is the most important decision. In fact, I have written this year, I want everyone to see, never, never lose hope. Even if you've lost everything and you have hope, you will definitely be able to beat that adversity.
That's so kind of you, ma'am. And what I have noticed is difficulties in life make people kind, and you're literally one of them.
Well, it should not, difficulties should not make you bitter. They should make you better.
It's the most important.
Yes.
That's the message people will take on from you today.
Thank you, Alvira.
Also, I would like to know, ma'am, I was going through your resume. You are currently working with children.
Yes.
So
You
when
know,
did you start? Did
sorry.
you start for a reason? Because those who love children, they, you know, act as a therapy for them.
Yeah.
You kind of tend to lose your worries and you enjoy your life and you become a child. Was it, you know, intentional?
So I was for 30 years I worked in India's largest steel company as chief of communications, as DGM corporate affairs, in charge of the entire Western region. I thought as a woman in a male world, I shattered that glass ceiling. So I proved a point there, but there was something missing in my life. I always wanted to give back to society. I knew that the India we are leaving behind to our children, you know, nature, climate, all that is not the right kind of stuff. I really, really wanted to fire young minds. And I'm very, very fond of, I have, as a chief of communications, I was always taking these sessions for young people. And then I decided that I would do it full time because bahut kar liya kaam zindagi mein, but to give back to my country, that became my mission in life. And yes, 16 years back, I joined the Podar group, RN Podar school, where I teach 17-year-olds how to deal with life. You know, when a person is, I'm a corporate trainer, so I know that when I teach 50-year-olds, they find it difficult to practice. But when a 17-year-old learns all the skills, how to manage anger, how to deal with chaos in life, how to be resilient, you know, he or she will be able to become a citizen of the country that can take the country forward. So that is my mission in life, to be able to leave behind the legacy of these bright youngsters who will build a new India. That's why life coaching.
Definitely, ma'am. Very well said, because those skills and actually managing emotions is a thing that we need to teach today's generation.
Yes.
And very well said that if they learn it today, have less problems.
Absolutely. You're so right. You are a counselor yourself, so you know that, Alvira.
I can relate to everything that you're saying, and I'm sure there'll be many people out there listening to us who can relate to you on every front.
Yeah, there's no shame in going to a counselor. You are most welcome to come and sort your issue out. I promise you that you will go back sorted and you'll go back happy. As mentioned in the creative, I think it's at Life Coach Neelam. So you can always approach me there. Yes.
Definitely. Any last comments that you would like to give?
So I would say that I have, having battled cancer twice at such close range, I've realized that life is really a precious gift. It is really an irreplaceable gift. So please understand what wellness means. For me, wellness is an acronym which I have named. It's called H-A-S-H, hash, not that kind of hash, okay? Health, H for health, A for attitude, S for spirituality, and H for humor. If we invest in these four, life is going to be a very memorable experience. To those listening, I just want to say, we are here on planet Earth as co-passengers only for a brief journey. It's between birth and death. So why not make it meaningful? And why not make it pleasant and happy for all the other people who are also journeying with us?
Definitely. Thank you so much for your words of encouragement. And for the lessons that you've given us today. We started late, but I think talked enough about your experiences and the lessons that we are going back home. And definitely learned better about handling adversity in this phase of.
Thank you, and thank you for being such a great interviewer. And I really enjoyed being on this show. And when adversity comes, please say, "Hey there, I was waiting for you. Now I know the skills and I will overcome you." Yeah?
After this session, definitely, ma'am. I'd again like to express my gratitude towards you on behalf of the SDR Knowledge Foundation, and we are really grateful. And it was personally, it was a pleasure talking.
Same here. Thank you, SDR Knowledge Foundation, for having me over, Dr. Mrinalini and Alvira. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. Hoping to see you again on.
Sure, I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
20 years of existence. Two universities. 23 educational institutes. Offering 137 courses. Thy Sony Group of Institutions, a vision beyond.